Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up March 27th through the 29th in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan. We have Stephen here today. Stephen, how you doing?
I am mightily blessed today.
I just noticed you're wearing a nice bright white shirt. You look very, just energetic, alive.
I am. Probably even glowing over here.
Exactly.
I'm just a happy guy.
That's good. Well, listeners, we are glad that you've joined us today, and we just want to let you know, like we do every now and then, that we are a listener-supported broadcast. What that means is the only way that these programs get produced and distributed around to our various affiliates is through generous partnerships from folks like you who are listening to the program. So if you'd like to learn about the ways that you can partner with us, and by the way, there are ways beyond just financial that you can partner, you can go to puresexradio.com. and click on the donate link, and then you can find about the ways that you can come alongside of us in this ministry. So, Stephen, why don't we jump in here and you tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about? Because I think we're going to be really kind of hopefully helping a lot of our male listeners today in a very practical way, something that every single guy, if he's honest with himself, is going to face pretty regularly in his life.
Are you talking about temptation?
Exactly.
Are you talking about challenges? You talking about managing sexuality? Oh, we're on that topic again, are we?
That's right.
Okay. So it starts on a Saturday morning. These two guys are giving a presentation, and they've gathered together a room of 40 or 50 guys, and they're talking about male sexuality. And like I said, there's two speakers, and I'm sitting there because I'm one of the speakers. And I'm listening to the other speaker. Oh, that was you. And this was several years back.
Oh, this is a long time ago,
way
yeah.
back in the beginning. And something pops out of your mouth that just knocks me to the floor. I cannot believe what you said. It's like God spoke through you. My spirit jumped when your spirit spoke. And I'm wondering what people are thinking out there right now.
Like, what did he say? What did he say?
What did he say is right. Because I'm telling you, this statement rings so true, but it is so foreign. It is not easy. But nothing that's worthwhile is easy, you know? Mm-hmm. All the easy stuff is simple and easy. But when you go on a mission and a task, so I want you to hear this statement as a challenge, as truth, as a statement about male sexuality, a God statement. So are you ready? Because we're talking, you're talking, I'm sitting there, I'm half daydreaming, and you say to the men in the group, you are made for purity. Hmm. You are made for purity. I thought, what? No man has ever said those words over the course of my lifetime. I'm a sexual being. I've been around a lot of other sexual beings. Oh, we're all sexual. But no man ever made that challenge. You said you were made for purity. And I thought, wow, that is a God thing, because it's a high goal. It's an honorable goal. It's a good goal. And it's where we function the best.
Well, and I think the reason I said it was because God had really been working on me in a passage in 1 Thessalonians, where it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for you were not called to be impure, but to live a holy life. Mm. And the idea was, it just, all of a sudden, I just saw in my mind that phrase, wow, my design is purity. Mm. And I think for a guy like me who had just spent so much of his life to that point, really immersed in sexual brokenness, immersed in pornography, immersed in really all these lies about what my design was sexually, to see that jump out and think, that's, none of that was my design. God made me for purity. In other words, he made me to run, like the fuel, so to speak, of my life was never meant to be impurity. The fuel, the things that's what's supposed to energize me, what I'm made to be about, is purity. I'm made for purity.
And let's expand on that a little bit, because we're not just supposed to be pure, we're supposed to be innocent and clean. And actually, we're supposed to be naive. We're not supposed to be as experienced as the world, which is a foreign concept, right? Because TV says you better keep up with the rest of us or you're getting behind. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't experience every possible angle of everything that could ever happen in life, then you're kind of a chump.
Yes.
And it's like, what? I mean, there's, if you think about it, you know, I love the fact that you pretty consistently bring up this idea of innocence, and I think it fits really well with this idea of being made for purity. And you say it a lot. We've even said it on this program before, how you talk about, listen, we were designed by God to live in a garden and run around naked. Like there's an innocence. There's just such a simplicity
just
to that.
Adam and Eve, that's such a great picture, and we forget it, you know? This is our garden. It's still, remnants are still here. We're still sexual beings. We still have the same God. This is his creation. He never gave up on that design.
And you know, so God continually throughout his word refers to us as children. You know, we're a child of God. And so many times we, unfortunately, in our world, we've sort of dismissed and devalued childhood. Now, I'm not talking about being childish.
Yes.
But there is something, God values a childlike heart, a childlikeness. The idea of being innocent and naive and dependent and just a lover of his dad, you know what I mean? And so I think there's something that we sort of need to recapture in this struggle that we have with temptation to be reminded what our design is.
Yes.
And so I think that's the foundation of what we're talking about here today, that design matters. You were made for purity and innocence and cleanness and childlikeness.
You know, and I've had this fear, I sort of had this fear periodically that what if there's something going on that I don't know about and it's really important and good and I was just oblivious to it and I lived my whole life and I missed this really good thing, You know, what a tragedy that would be.
And you know, but you know what? I think some of that fear is born out of what you were talking about earlier. We're just so bombarded in our society that if you don't know, if you don't have all the answers, if you don't experience this, then something's deficient in you.
Yes.
And it's like, no, that's not true.
But I'm saying this one thought is the right framework that that a man should stand in. It will always serve you well. It will never betray you. It will never cause you to get off course. It will never cause you to waste time. If you recognize that you are made for purity, it's the right framework that everything else can be built on. And we're going to talk about how you do that. But I sort of wrote a little three or four step outline here. And it's like with the right framework of this thought of purity, then you have to ask yourself, how do you do it? And we all know the answer. It's self-control, right? You get out of control, you're not going to stay within the boundaries of purity. And so the goal, you remember, is purity. But why purity? Because there's freedom in purity. Mm-hmm. You're not free when you're in bondage, addicted, caught up, compulsions, and out of control behavior. There's no freedom in that.
You know, one of the things that I learned in my recovery was that what I had previously assumed was the proper definition of freedom was actually slavery.
And, ooh, and that's good.
What I mean is I had this very childish and foolish way of thinking about freedom, meaning I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want, however I want. And it was a very self-focused, selfish idea of what freedom was.
But it's like bouncing around, but you don't still have any good compass in that, right?
And here's the thing. It totally ignored the responsibility that is necessary for all those decisions of doing whatever I want, whenever I want. It's saying I can be sort of sloppy with how I run my life without any consequence. And I realized over time, that's slavery. Because I go out.
So what is the slavery part?
The slavery is I go out and do whatever I want and had to learn the hard way that every decision you make has consequences.
Yes.
Good or bad.
Okay.
And so the more I was doing these decisions that I was thinking, I can do whatever I want with my eyes and with my body and my sexuality, and I can do whatever I want. As all of these negative consequences built up, it was like putting brick after brick after brick in of my own prison that I was building around myself under the umbrella of quote freedom. Like in other words, this is the fallacy of thinking that I see a lot of people get into when they start talking about my rights and everything's about me, and they think that's freedom when in fact brick by brick they're building their own prison of whatever their deviant desires are, whatever their
It's funny. There's some new thinking called, it's not brand new, but postmodern thinking, where you're supposed to challenge the institutional rules and dismantle the rules. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, that's chaos.
Yeah.
If you don't know what truth is and stand on it and you dismantle all the institutions like marriage, all the institutions of, what's right and wrong. So you got to have the right framework. And it's funny because I want to tell another story. I stood up in front of a group of men one time, and you reminded me of this recently. And I said, okay, get ready. I'm going to make a statement here that I think is really important. And I said, you are made for purity. And about a third of the men just burst into laughter. They thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how sort of deceived some of us are. Mm-hmm. You're kidding me. Purity, what is that, kid stuff? Ha, ha, ha. The more, the better, right? The harder, the longer, the better, the deeper, the...
And the thing that was probably most shocking to you is you were in a room of Christian men.
Yes.
So we've been sort of... we've been so immersed in this culture of kind of lies and deception and falsehoods about what our design is, that it's even seeped into our thinking as Christians that, that's old thinking.
Yeah,
that's ancient.
Yes.
That's not relevant today.
So about a third of the guys said, huh? And a third of the guys said, yeah. And a third of the guys said, this is a joke, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really that third that my heart hurt for him, because look how far you are, right? from reining in and bridling and saying, I know what's best, my Father who made me.
So I would say this, what we're about to go into is probably going to resonate most with the two-thirds of what Stephen was talking about, the ones that went, huh, and the ones that were like, yes. Now, those of you out there that might have been going, yeah, you're made for purity, whatever. We hope that something, maybe a seed will be planted and something like that. But really, we're really speaking to that other two-thirds because mm-hmm. we think you're going to be the ones that really get what we're talking about and are ready to do something about it.
So how do you, because now you have the big framework, you're made for purity, it means you have to hold on to it and protect it, right? Protect your innocence. So how do you control yourself? And I thought we should go through a few ideas. Guys are out there with their own ideas, and it'd be wonderful if anybody has a great idea that really blessed them if they sent it in to us, because we'd love to, in another program, go over another 10 ideas that really blessed and strengthened this. So if you've got one.
And by the way, you can just send those to mypoint@puresexradio.com. So that's the email address to send stuff in, mypoint@puresexradio.com.
So you'll understand what we're asking for as we go down this list, but it's anything that helps you manage your mind, because we're going to talk about ideas for self-control. So you know, we're in a culture and there are really attractive people. And so say you see a really attractive female and she walks by, and now you have a decision. Because I think biology just responds to biology. Sexuality responds to sexuality. And so we say, wow, look at that. She's very attractive. And I think that's the normal part, to look at beauty, to recognize beauty, and say, hey, that's attractive. Mm-hmm. And the next thought you have is decision time.
And right? That's just it. To me, it's the next thought. And unfortunately, too many guys, especially if they've got a long history of looking at pornography and doing very inappropriate things with their sexuality, they struggle with even being able to be gentle with themselves of just having that initial response. They feel a sense of shame if they have any sexual feelings or urges or whatever, because they've so misused it that then they're still trying to understand what is just a normal feeling that is not attached to some deviant behavior or some fantasy thought or anything like that.
Yeah, so, and they have to slow it down, right?
Yeah.
And say what's healthy and what's not. They almost have to relearn. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I would say is be gentle with yourself if you've got a long history of inappropriate behavior, for when you do have these moments where you see an attractive person and then you have that normal initial response of, wow, I just saw an attractive person. It's the next thing you do with that thought. And this is where, Stephen, you kind of talk about, start kind of having an inner dialogue.
Yes.
Just sort of have a, you know, sort of have a conversation in your mind about what just occurred.
Hey, are you getting ahead here?
Well, I'm just thinking.
No, this is good. This is good, because you've already rolled out two different ideas.
Sorry.
Which are fabulous, because I want to pause mine and go to yours. Be gentle. Managing sexuality is difficult. Don't go fast. Slow down and be kind to yourself. We are so quick to blame and shame and trash ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying is just be gentle, because if you've developed an addiction, you don't know how to be kind to yourself or go slow or be patient. So, I mean, I think that's an intervention in of itself, because when this process goes and you mess up, you know, the thought is slow down and review and be gentle. Don't be brutal with yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so kind of moving back to what, I didn't mean to get ahead of here.
No, you were doing good.
But kind of moving back, I think that next thought you have is the idea of kind of redirection, of kind of like, okay,
yes.
She's not mine. She doesn't belong to me. I don't have the permission from my creator who designed me for purity to do whatever I want with this image I've now seen.
That's not mine.
Yeah.
That's beauty, but that's not mine. That's not mine. Because I think there's a sense of, like, we all have a two-year-old part. Mm-hmm. And you know when kids get together and like a 5-year-old boy comes over to play with another 5-year-old boy, and the boy whose house they're at has a red truck, and when the visitor comes over to grab the red truck, the boy that lives there says, mine. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. It's mine. Don't play with my truck. I was going to play with that truck. Whatever the visitor wants, that's, you know.
Right.
And so it's like that two-year-old or some five-year-old just comes out and says, mine, mine, mine. And it's like, slow down, please.
And you know what? And I think that's a one of the things that's helped me in that moment, like where you go from just having your normal, you know, male response. You've seen beauty and all of a sudden, you know, your heart flutters and you kind of get sweaty palms or what, that kind of thing is I think in terms of ownership like that. And I think sometimes the thing I will say to myself is, do you want to have to confess stealing later on? Because, you know, I have a choice here. I can say, God, you know what? I didn't reach into what is not mine and take something that is not mine. That's stealing. And we can we can steal in our minds. You know, we only think about stealing a lot of times as physically. I'm going to reach into your wallet and take your money, and then I've stolen something.
Yeah.
But you know what? That woman's beauty is hers, and she is a daughter of God, and she belongs to Him.
Yes.
So for me to reach in, even with my mind, and try to take her image away from what she's been designed for.
And to use it is what you're saying. Not just say, that's beauty, now move along.
Right, but to use it in a way that's self-serving and self-focused, then that's stealing. And so I think in those terms sometimes, it just gives me a more sober mindset toward those moments where it's like, okay,
So I'm saying don't let the two-year-old in you throw a fit and say, mine, mine, mine. Mm-hmm. And you're saying don't let the thief in you that wants to steal which is not his and take it home and play with it. Right? So those are two good thoughts, because if you could disrupt the thought, you might not do your old thought process. Mm-hmm. We're trying to train in new thought processes. And so that we don't end up way down the line going, oh, no, I did it again. Mm-hmm. We have to stop it after we catch ourselves saying, that's beautiful and that's exciting. Okay, pause, pause, hit the pause. So we're going down the list, and I don't know how many you're going to come up with, because we're be gentle, don't let the thief out. There's a two-year-old in you. I don't know what the count is, but we're going to the next one here.
And keep in mind, if you have ideas, listeners, send them to us.
We would love to hear your ideas. We would like to do another show so that men can encourage men. That's what this program is about. Now, sometimes there's just a naturally curious part of us, because something, a female goes by and you think, you know, what was she wearing? What kind of hair did she have? What did her face look like? You know, how shapely was she? There's like a sort of a natural curiosity that comes up in us in wonder about the world and being kids. And in a healthy way, curiosity is good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that happens with curiosity in our sexuality that starts to become part of the deception. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. And I think I think marketers know this, you know, because if you think about it, so much of marketing today uses sexuality as a tease. And so what I mean is it gets that curious part of us thinking, you know, it engages that curious part of us. I know that sometimes, the temptations I may face today are hearing a news report about maybe some, you know, actress or something that was, you know, caught in some sort of sting operation or something like that. And the curious part of me will be going, well, I mean, I wonder what else happened. I wonder what videos they've got in terms of this scene. You know, so it's that curious part that then starts thinking, what else is available in this story? What else could be seen or learned about? And it's sometimes the curious part works this way. You start, and we are so good at self-deception. You know what I mean? It's like this, what you're calling this natural curiosity, which I do believe God has given us natural curiosity. It's one of the reasons we explore and we do all kinds of things. But when it comes to our sexuality, I think the deception that we can have is we can start with what we think is just the natural curiosity, and very quickly it turns into, I really want to see something inappropriate. I mean, I really want to go to a place that I shouldn't go. And follow that trail.
Well, it's interesting, because I'll tell you a light version of what you're talking about. I was making my bed, the television was behind me, and then this seductive voice comes on. She's not your regular kind of usher. And I thought, I immediately turned around. Right. Now, my curiosity was up. It was about a female, and it was weird because it was about an usher. And then they went on to say, she's a very friendly usher. But you know what? They had my curiosity just jumped up and said, what, you know? So we're going to have to manage our curiosity.
Mm-hmm. And I think the way you do that is very similar to how we were talking about what do you do with that tempting thought of seeing that female. A lot of this has to do with redirection. It's not about beating yourself up. It's not about saying something was wrong about you having that moment of curiosity. It's saying, you know what, where do I want to direct my thoughts from this point forward? Do I want to continue to go down that trail that could be kind of dangerous? Because I part of this is about self-awareness and learning yourself.
Yes.
And the more you understand how easily we deceive ourselves, the quicker you can be to say, yeah, you know what, I know where this trail leads.
And oh, and I forgot, I meant to say, from the addiction community, they teach themselves this line, I don't need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know that. So curiosity comes and says, well, is she tall? How tall? Is she young or old?
What kind of usher is she?
I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that.
Right.
So that's what you repeat. When curiosity comes up, you say, I don't need to know that. Move along, mm-hmm. right? So it's very important that we have good inner self-talk. And you were introducing this a minute ago, that there's a dialogue with inside of us. And that we must have good dialogue, honest, open dialogue, because arousal comes up, curiosity comes up, energy comes up. And then as soon as your machinery starts to come along, your sexual machinery engine starts firing, going, this is a beautiful woman. Wow, this is exciting. Then you better start talking to yourself. Mm-hmm. And what do you think you should be saying to yourself, Jonathan?
Well, I think there's two things to be thinking about here. One is there's definitely a move away kind of thinking, which I need to do that in my thoughts. I need to stop certain things. I need to move away from certain ideas that are springing up in my head. But I think the other part of it is, what are you moving toward? And so I think there's these two things, and I think you have to start with the move away. I mean, you can, it's very hard in that moment to be going, let me think about what my needs are and where I need. The initial thought is,
flee.
Stop. Yeah,
move,
get away.
Go. Because here's what I think. I immediately start confronting myself, and I say, you know what you're doing, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know where this goes. You know what you're up to, don't you? You know what this is about, don't you? Why are you kidding yourself? You know what, you know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Be honest with yourself. Why don't you just stop yourself? Why don't you stop now? That's enough. Move along. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that leads really well into the next one, which is think your thought all the way to the end. So as I'm doing my self-talk, I'm saying, well, you know where this ends, right? You feel dirty. You feel bad. You cheated. The thief came out. The two-year-old mm-hmm. came out. You practiced bad skills. You sacrificed integrity and purity and honesty and innocence. You practiced bad skills. So do you really want to do this? And in your model, you were saying, I'm putting bricks on the wall, you know, that walls me in. Do you want another brick? Do you need another brick on your wall, really?
And then I think as you're thinking those thoughts, that's the move away part. And then I think you can transition in that dialogue to say, you know, what do I really want out of this moment? Do I want to be able to you know, walk through this grocery store and finish my shopping and feel clean and pure and living in my design? You know, so you have this dialogue that has, I think, both the move away elements, which are the stop it and flee, as well as the move toward and take that thought all the way to its completion too. Do I want to put my head on the pillow tonight and say, you know what, I held the line of purity. I get to praise God in my cleanness, in my purity, in my integrity. And so I think, you know, you do both of those things, and I think you will move away from that moment of temptation. And it's sort of a, you have to think of it kind of like a wave. I think if you will ride those thoughts of move away and move toward, what you'll find is you usually don't have to do that for very long. I mean, I'm talking in the realm of minutes usually for me. When you have that moment
yes.
of temptation and you ride this thought all the way out, then next thing you know, 2 minutes later, you're on to something else and you're moving forward.
So I like the fact that you're saying move it to somewhere else, because I would say use contentment. Mm-hmm. And I came up with a line. I want you to come up with your own line. But here's my line. My God is enough. My wife is enough. I have enough. And I'm content. Because there's this restless discontent that you're getting behind, and your two-year-old says, you should have a new shiny one. Your old one, aren't you tired of your old one? So you come up with a line about contentment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other one, I will have a couple more, and then I'm going to turn it over to you for close. The other one is she worth my peace? I have inner peace right now. And if I play that little head game and end up where that takes me, I lose inner peace. Do I want to lose my inner peace?
So we're going to wrap it up there and just remind you that it all comes back to this idea that you are made for purity. Let that be the framework that you carry throughout all of this, and may it lead you to a place of contentment and peace.
You are made for purity.
Yes. We're glad you've been with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.